Warren Buffett holds a big stake in banks, a sign he's optimistic about the U.S. economy.
It's banks, but also payment companies, American Express, MasterCard, Visa, also Moody's, and some insurance companies as well. So it's broadly throughout the financial services, but quite a lot of the large banks are in there.
And Macy's stock falls after it reports lower than expected earnings.
They've been making a lot of moves, closing underperforming stores, and you still sort of can't move the needle enough, it's got to be very frustrating.
This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. We'll have those stories in a moment. First, here are some other stories we're following. And the big story was a massive market sell-off. Stocks tumbled Wednesday on more signs that a global economic slowdown is taking hold. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 800 points, 3%. It was the Dow's biggest loss of the year. The NASDAQ Composite and the S&P 500 also fell 3% each. Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akane Otani said stocks were hurt by bad economic news from overseas.
Chinese factory production, consumption, and property investment all fell more than expected. And then we also saw data that showed the German economy actually shrank in the second quarter. So you have all that sending sort of a negative tone about the global economy.
And the so-called inverted yield curve reappeared for the first time in more than a decade.
The spread between 2- and 10-year Treasury yields actually inverted for the first time since 2007. That's probably the starkest signal yet that we've gotten from the bond market, suggesting that investors are really feeling pessimistic about the outlook for growth, not just overseas, but also a little bit in the U.S. as well.
This kind of inversion between short and long-term yields is viewed by many as a signal that a recession is likely in the future. A former Blackwater security guard was sentenced to life in prison again for his role in a 2007 Baghdad shooting that marked one of the lowest points of the U.S. war in Iraq. Nicholas Slatin was convicted in December of firing the first shots and murdering the driver of a stopped car at a traffic circle. It was his third trial over the episode that left more than a dozen unarmed Iraqi civilians dead and badly strained U.S.-Iraqi relations. Mr. Slatin's first conviction also resulted in a life sentence that was later overturned. Federal prosecutors say the hacker charged with stealing millions of Capital One financial records hit more than 30 other targets. Paige Thompson, a former Amazon.com employee, was arrested on July 29th and charged with the theft of 106 million Capital One records in one of the largest ever bank data thefts. In a court filing, prosecutors said Ms. Thompson also stole multiple terabytes of data from more than 30 other companies, including educational institutions. Ms. Thompson, who has remained in custody, is scheduled to appear at a bail hearing August 22nd. Who likes the big U.S. banks? None other than Warren Buffett. The Wall Street Journal says Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway holds nearly $100 billion in financial services stocks, representing around 20% of Berkshire's total market capitalization. Joining us to talk about this is the Wall Street Journal's Nicole Friedman. Nicole, you write that Berkshire has built up this position in financial services stocks over the years. Does this indicate that Mr. Buffett remains optimistic about the overall U.S. economy?
I would say so. Warren Buffett is famously optimistic about the future of the U.S. He often talks about how he still believes that a broad bet on the U.S. economy is the best investment that regular investors can make, and he has certainly put his money behind that, too.
And it's not just strictly banks, but other financial services companies like Moody's, the ratings firm?
Yes, it's banks, but also payment companies. They own American Express, MasterCard, Visa, also Moody's, and some insurance companies as well. So it's broadly throughout the financial services, but there are quite a lot of the large banks are in there.
Now, Mr. Buffett is known for not really wanting to discuss a strategy or anything like that. Why is Mr. Buffett sweet on banks and related financial companies? What do observers say his opinions are about that?
So he has said a little bit about why he likes banks. He says that he thinks that even in a low interest rate environment, they still generate outsized returns. He thinks that they have benefited from the recent changes to the U.S. tax law. And there's definitely a bias in his investments toward large banks. And so there's some thinking that he thinks that large national banks are going to outperform smaller or regional banks in the future.
What are some of those banks?
So some of the banks that Berkshire has large stakes in include Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. And there are some smaller banks as well, like M&T Bank.
Does he hold majority stakes in some of those banks?
Yeah, Berkshire is the largest shareholder in a lot of these banks, including Bank of America, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bancorp, and Bank of New York Mellon.
Well, how have the stocks of Berkshire's financial holdings done so far this year?
So a lot of the biggest holdings are up this year. It's hard to say exactly how the investments have done overall for Berkshire because some of them he's held for decades and he's changed his positions throughout the year. So it's a little difficult to quantify that.
Didn't Mr. Buffett boost his holdings in financial companies during and after the financial crisis more than a decade ago?
Absolutely. So Berkshire did quite a lot during the and after the financial crisis to rescue suffering companies. In 2008, right near the trough of the market, Berkshire invested in Goldman Sachs. And then later, a few years later, it also made a large investment in Bank of America right when the bank was struggling.
And he's known for taking long-term positions in companies.
Yes. So Berkshire has held its positions in Wells Fargo and American Express and Moody's for more than a decade. And Mr. Buffett often says that he is a very long-term investor. He's not worried about how these companies will perform in the next quarter or in the next year. He's investing for the very long term.
We should also say that Berkshire Hathaway outright owns companies in other sectors. And also, they made an unusual move not too long ago by buying a stake in Apple.
Berkshire does wholly own dozens of companies, about 70, including many insurance companies. Geico is in there, and also some household brands like Duracell, Dairy Queen, Fruit of the Loom, and See's Candies. And then it has equity stakes in many other companies, including over the last couple of years, it's built up about a $50 billion stake in Apple.
Based on what's happened with the U.S. economy and, you know, the gyrations of the stock market, the performance is obviously subject to change.
And Berkshire has not been outperforming the S&P 500 in the past decade or so. So over its history of more than 50 years, Berkshire has outperformed the overall stock market. But in more recent years, its performance has not done better than an index fund. And so there are questions about how Mr. Buffett's stock picking will do in the future.
Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman. Thanks a lot, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Macy's is singing the retail blues. The department store chain Wednesday cut its full-year earnings outlook after reporting a lower-than-expected profit for its latest quarter. It comes as Macy's and other department stores continue to lose shoppers to newer forms of retailing. Here with the story is Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. Suzanne, didn't Macy's suffer from a massive increase in inventories over the summer?
Well, what happened is the year got off to a very slow start. And so the inventories built throughout the spring and into the summer. And that forced them to mark down much more heavily than they had anticipated, which hurt their profits. And the company does say that inventories are in a better shape now heading into the back half of the year.
Well, is this bad news as we head into the back-to-school and holiday seasons?
It's not great, certainly, to see companies, you know, struggling like this coming out of the gate. And, you know, the stakes are just much higher in the second half of the year. That's where retailers earn a lot of their money. So they really have to get things right and make sure their business is, you know, fine-tuned by the time they head to the holiday season. So it's a disadvantage to start the year this way.
And on a separate note, the internet continues to hammer department stores' business, doesn't it?
Well, it's not just the internet. As Macy's CEO Jeff Gennette told me, I mean, they're facing competition from the brands they sell have their own stores and websites today. You have off-price retailers like TJ Maxx doing very well. New business models like, you know, resale, the RealReal, are stealing shoppers. So their department stores are sort of feeling it on all fronts. So it's tough.
Macy's reported a rise of 0.2% in same-store sales, and it reaffirmed its annual sales guidance. But it seems to me like there are just too many challenges, aren't there?
They've been trying a lot of different things. They've been innovating. They just announced today a partnership with ThredUp to offer secondhand clothes in its stores. They've been opening these backstage off-price stores. They've been making a lot of moves, closing underperforming stores. And, you know, when you still sort of can't move the needle enough, it's got to be very frustrating.
This news sent Macy's stock down sharply, and it also hurt the stocks of other retailers. Other retailers are hurting, too.
It's certainly not just Macy's. You know, consumers are spending, but they're not necessarily buying clothes. And department stores are among the weakest of the group because they're stuck in malls. People are going to shopping malls less. And, you know, so you've got JCPenney reporting earnings tomorrow and Kohl's and Nordstrom next week. And we'll see what comes from them. But they're on shaky ground as well.
And Macy's, as well as other retailers, Macy's stands to be hurt by the tariff battles between the U.S. and China, particularly on the apparel front?
Certainly, if the tariffs go to 25%, Macy's said that consumers have absolutely no appetite for a price increase. So that means they've got to figure out another way to either pass along prices or eat the extra costs. And so one thing Macy's is doing is like trying to make the products nicer, like adding beading and rhinestones and other embellishment. That way they feel they can charge more for it, and that'll help offset some of the extra costs of the tariffs.
Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
And that's What's News for Wednesday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.